I read this psalm over and over again because it contains so much. And because it contains so much, of course, I went a bit further and read something to tell me where to read somewhere else, and I thought, oh, this is good. I'll start by reading the first two verses. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. I did read some from Samuel, and as I read the psalm over and over again, it's not just praying about the enemy coming. David going into a battle was a great warrior, but this was the enemy within. And I read on in Samuel, of course it was Absalom, his son, who was conspiring against him. And even some of his friends and such like were actually going on to Absalom's side. So I thought about David. He left Jerusalem with whoever went with him and running away. And I thought, it's not just the fact he's turning to God to help him, but also it shows us, or showed me, that the only one we can depend on is God. Because we've all been in a position when people, sometimes they have to let us down because there's nothing else they can do about it. But how many times do people who we befriend, even family members, who turn against us, all of a sudden we say the wrong thing. We're not, you know. And I thought, so this shows us, but we have God. And we can depend on him constantly, lean on him. And that is really good. So I did find this psalm very interesting. Thank you.
They sang I Did It My Way, didn't they? Yeah. You know. And if you look at this psalm, how self-sufficient do you think you are? You know, do you rely on yourself and your own judgment? How confident are you in yourself? Do you feel you can do anything for yourself? Oh, I can do that. This psalm tells us what we need to put our trust in God, not in ourselves. We are, you know, all things pass away, all things become new. We need to put our trust in God. And why do we need to put our trust in God? Because we're in a battle. We're fighting principalities and powers, and in this world today, especially in this world today, we can see that there are powers and forces that are swelling against particularly the Christian voice, and very much wanting to allow anything other than the Christian voice to be heard on the news or on the television or wherever else, or in, or even in marches and protests or whatever. And we need to be, this is us, me as well, all of us, we need to be standing and doing something about that, because that voice needs to be heard. And what are we standing against? We're standing against enemies that, first of all, say things against us, threaten us, enemies that are wicked, this is all in this chapter, enemies that want to make us suffer, that get angry towards us, and of course it can be someone who you wouldn't believe could be your enemy, someone who is close to you. You know, as David says in this chapter. So we need to be prepared for the fact that we're under attack. Under attack. And well, what's the answer? It's in verse 16. As for me, I will call to God morning, noon, and night. All the time, in other words. The answer to the fact that we are under threat from the world, from Satan, from his angels, Satan's angels, is that we cry to God morning, noon, and night. All the time being in touch with God. And what's the result of us being in touch with God? Well, that's in verse 18. We are rescued unharmed. Amen. The enemy can do nothing against us because we've got the protection of God around us. Yes. And that's why we can stand firm and promote and proclaim the love of Jesus, because we know that he is and will protect us. Amen. And so whilst we're under attack, whilst we call on the Lord, whilst we know that he's going to protect us and that we will remain unharmed, we can put all that into action. Verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord. Yeah. He will sustain you. Yeah. Verse 23, he will defeat our enemies. And as I started with, do we trust in ourselves? Verse 23, trust in God, not in ourselves. So this verse, this chapter reminds me that we need and should and must put our trust in God, and in God first and all of the time, not just part of the time. Amen.
To me, when I read this, to me, it sort of, it was the enemy within the church for some reason. If I read from verse 12, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throne. It's the church. It's like with the enemy within the church as a whole, because as we have seen of late, you know, it started with the Church of England. They are, you know, allowing everything and everything in within their congregations and whatnot. And then the Methodists, I think, followed suit. So it's the enemy within the church, not from outside. Because I think when people are outside, you can excuse them for not knowing better. But when somebody is within the church and they know better, they are the ones who are standing in front of the multitude and they know the truth. And instead of going according to the word of God, they now sort of allow certain things to be happening that are actually in this book, that is a manual, that is a guiding book to how we should be living our lives as Christians. But they start allowing certain things like that. It puts those, the other body of Christ, that who are following according to the word of God, it puts us in danger of the whole of the world. Because the world looks at the church as one church. That if those are allowing this, why are you not? Who do you think you are? You are no better yourselves. So that's when the attack comes against those of us who are standing by the word of God, because the other churches or the other members of within the body of Christ have gone astray. Or maybe they never went anywhere, they were already there anyway. they were already there, they are just showing their true colors. Because whatever they were cooking is coming out to be served. Yeah. So to me, it spoke to the church that the enemy is within the church. you know, which actually pains more than if the enemy was coming from outside. Because if the enemy is coming from outside, you are not surprised most of the time, because you expect opposition. But if it's somebody within your own household, within your own group of circle of friends, when something happens that you know that really hurts, it hurts and it shocks to start with. You are shocked when something like that is revealed against you, and then what follows is hurt. You are hurt and you are injured and you are bewildered, as he said. On verse 4, my heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death. Well, we are not looking at the terrors of death. Even if we die, as Sarah says, Esther said, if I die, I die. We are dying one death. That's the good thing about it. Even if we die, we are dying one death. Whereas the lot of them are going to be dying twice. So it says in there that, yeah, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. So they are bringing trouble against the rest of the body of Christ who is still standing firm. And then in verse 23, I like it when there are those verses that say, "But God." Yes, but God. And everything can be said and done, and everybody can be thinking that they've won or they've silenced these Christians who are overzealous, who are doing this, who are old-fashioned. You know, the Bible is old-fashioned. We need to rewrite the Bible. You know, it needs to come up to the 20th century. No, it doesn't. It's already in the 21st century anyway, because everything in the Bible is very current. It caters for all generations and for all circumstances. So it's very current. It's the world that keeps changing. But the Bible never, it's the word of God. It would have to be current, wouldn't it? So in verse 23, it says, but you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their lives. But I will trust in you. Amen. We will trust in God. In Jesus' name.
I really just looked at probably the first half of the psalm, but the few thoughts that I got blessed me, because I can identify with David. I'm sure we all can. He was very much in touch with God, but he didn't deny what was going on in his flesh, and he was quick to invite God into the situation. And my thoughts were that in the first few verses, David's running high on his emotions. It seems like there's no one listening in heaven. What's all this about, God? Why is all this raging? He seems overwhelmed by all that he sees and hears. Betrayal, revenge, anarchy, hatred and corruption. And all he wants to do is to fly away to a place of escape, a place of peace and solitude. Have you ever been there? Oh, God, do I have to go to this place again? You know, I tell you, David was very open with his emotions. And, sometimes I think we've all been there. But, you know, when there's a storm going off, the eye of the hurricane is the centre of the storm. But that's the place to be, because that's the place where it's really quiet. And the storm is raging all around you. And I really feel God was saying, that's where you need to settle down. In the midst of that storm, don't even think about running away. Don't even think about anything other than getting in the secret place, getting in the eye of that storm, and settle down there and focus on the one who stills the storm. Amen. And don't follow your emotions or be afraid, otherwise the storm will pick you up and it'll send you spinning out of control. I've done it. Have you? You get caught up in it, and before you know where you are, you're all of a spin, and you're in a mess, and you're down in the dumps, and the devil's got you right where he wants you, and he's just a master tactician. Well, we've got to be smarter than the devil. And the book, the Bible, is the smartest book you can ever take your advice from. Do what the Word says and you've won. Because listen to God's Word on the situation and you'll experience His perfect peace. Because you need to let God handle it, because He's already defeated the devil. And if anybody knows, if anybody's a champion, it's God. And He knows exactly how to defeat the devil. And so we need to get under the shelter of His wings. We need to be in the safe place, the secret place. And you know, God is the righteous judge of all the earth, and He judges rightly. He knows exactly what's going on. He sees what's in the heart of everything and what's in our heart, and He responds accordingly. But let me tell you, He puts us under the protection of His wings, and the devil can't get to you there. And He will, if you will hide there, then He'll take care of what's going on around you. But just please, please, please don't run out into the storm, because that's a sure way for the devil to get hold of you and beat the living daylights out of you. So don't give him the opportunity. Stay under God's wings and you'll get victory every time. Been there, done that. Got the T-shirt. Amen.
Just want to throw a slightly different angle. This is the psalm that David wrote. This also resembles some of his life. Yeah. Probably even some of our lives are in there. We can see some of these things ourselves for us. But also, this is quite a prophetic psalm in that this speaks about the Lord Jesus. You know, you talk about that, the friend who was with him, Judas. Yeah. He was his friend of the Lord Jesus, wasn't he? He was such a good friend that he actually kept the money. Yeah. He was so trusted. So he must have been a good friend to actually allow him to be responsible for all the finance that was there. He held the money back. And yet, as we know, as we read in the New Testament, Judas betrayed Jesus, his friend. He'd been with him. He'd been in the temple. He'd seen Jesus healing people. He'd seen people being fed miraculously. He'd seen all these miracles. But Satan entered his heart. And he lost his way. Sad, isn't it? He lost his way. And that's something that we need to be, obviously, watching our own lives as we follow the Lord. And in verse 4 it says, "My heart is in anguish within me, and the terror of death has fallen upon me." Do you know whose terror this is speaking about? Because I'm going to, before I go any further with it, I'm going to ask you a question. Was Jesus afraid to die on the cross? Was Jesus afraid to die on the cross? And the answer to that is no. And why do I say no? Because Jesus knew that he was sinless and spotless, and he knew that he would be raised up on the third day. So he knew that death had no power to hold him. So he's not afraid of death, because death has not got the ability, the tangibility, the equipment to hold Jesus in the tomb for eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the fear that he's feeling is your fear and my fear. He took my fears. He took my shame. He took my sickness. That's why he went to the cross. He took everything that was going to be punishment to you and to me, and he took them off us, so that even now Because we're in Christ, we are like him, and therefore we should not fear death. For death does not have a permanent hold over us. Amen? Yeah. We have loved ones who have gone on before us. Are they dead?
No.
Are they dead? No. They're alive in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's wonderful. So we shall see them on that great and glorious day.
Amen.
So David here, this psalm is prophetic in its way. It's also about his life, but it's also reaching out into the prophetic of what was happening or going to be happening when Jesus came on the scene and went to the cross. And so we can rejoice that Jesus was not overwhelmed by our fears. You know, verse 5 says, fear and trembling comes upon me, and horrors have overcome me. That's David speaking. This is how we can be if we don't have that peace and relationship of walking with the Lord Jesus. And it's an attack on the mind. The things that I have gone through recently, and I know John's gone through some of these things. It's here, isn't it? This is where the battle rages. It's not in here where the spirit is at peace and at rest. But the seeds of doubt and unbelief and fear are being sown into your heart and into your mind, trying to get deeper into your very being. Because when it gets in there, it'll begin to destroy. So, you know, this is where we have to cast down imaginations and every vain thing that seems to exalt itself above the Most High God. So when you get those thoughts, you have to cast them down. You have to break those thoughts, and you have to deal with them and throw them before the foot of the cross and say, these are yours, Lord. These are not mine. These have come from the pit. And so we press through in this area, knowing that God will set us free. Verse 15, it says, let death seize them. Let them go down alive to hell, for the wicked is in their dwelling place and among them. And as for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. Yeah. We sing that song, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. When we call upon the Lord will save us. He will reach down and touch us and take hold of us and grab hold of our hands so that we might be in his presence. We might know him in a wonderful, precious way in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
And so we need to keep pressing in.
Yeah.
You know, there might be destruction around us. And in the midst of it, in verse 11, it says, oppression. We're being oppressed, and deceit. Do not depart from its streets. Keep away from all these things. Let your mind, let your heart be fixed upon Jesus. You know, David had a battle. He had to fix his heart on the Lord because David had got promises from God. And David believed that they were going to be fulfilled. Saul was after him, as we know. Absalom turned on him, as we know. And which part of this is that? Absalom turned on him. His own son. But yet, he wouldn't touch his own son. He said, let God fight for me.
Yeah.
Let God fight for me.
Yeah.
And yet David was a man of war.
He was.
A man of blood. That's why he couldn't build the temple. But yet, he drew the line and said, no, if Absalom's to be king, then who am I to stand against the Almighty God? And so he refused to stand against Absalom. He decided to allow God to deal with the situation. And God did. And Absalom died a horrible death. But we know that God is in control. And God will be there standing with us. Verse 19. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abode from old. Now then, who's he talking about? God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from old. The enemy, the devil. He's the old. He's there from the beginning of times. He was created. And he's going to be punished. He's going to be taken down into hell. And he's going to be there forever, tormented. So Jesus wasn't afraid of the devil, as we know in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the enemy came in and began to tempt him. It says, you know, he bruised Satan's head.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He went away with a severe headache that day. Amen. And, you know, Jesus came out victorious. And the devil has had a headache ever since.
Amen.
No matter how many pills he tries to take, you know, it will never remove his headache of the crushing, of the victory, of the power of the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that came up during that time in those 3 days. Victory is ours. Today, victory belongs to you. The enemy doesn't appear to fear God, but that's okay. They're telling themselves a lie. The devil lies constantly. But today we know that God is truth.
Amen.
And we know that the truth will set us free.
Yes.
And we need to continue to walk in truth.
Amen.
Verse 20 says, he has put forth his hand against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. You know, the devil seeks to... He came to Jesus, if you remember, in the wilderness and said, oh, you know, just say the words and turn these stones into bread. You can do it. You know, you're the Son of God and you can do these things. And if you do these, I'll give you all the kingdoms. And he took him to high place and he showed him all these things. He says, all you've got to do is just simply bow down to me. Nothing much, is it? You know, just bow your head down to me. And that's all you've got to do. And I'll give you all of these things. He's beguiled himself.
Yeah.
God had already got them. The process had begun at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The process was in motion. Jesus already had these things. He could see 3.5 years down the line. Victory. Victory. The bruised head. The broken spirits. And captives being set free. But he has a smooth tongue sometimes, the devil. We hear of movie stars and pop singers who say they have sold their soul to the devil for success. For money, for gain. They do not know what they have done. And you know, we need to continue to pray that for these people, that God will have his way. And as we know in verse 22, it says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's a sustaining God.
Yeah.
He's a God that will keep us. It says he shall never permit the righteous to be moved.
Never.
Hallelujah. You're not going to be knocked off that rock where your feet have been planted, because you're locked into Christ. Stay locked into Christ. Cast your burdens onto him. Don't let your burdens seek to try and drag you away. Don't let them cause you to lose focus on him who to know is life eternal. You know, the world outside keeps telling us, this is happening, that's happening. They do it, the doctors do it, the pharmaceutical companies do it. Advertising all the time. Pure cremation. I'm sick of seeing it. It's cheap. Pure cremation. It's godless. Godless. But it's cheap, you know. But it's totally godless. Bombarding us with these type of advertisements, trying to draw us in, to draw us away to the power and the truth of a living God. God is there for us, and he's able to do great and mighty things. We need to stand on these promises. Verse 23, but you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Hallelujah. God has already made a pit. I think pit's not a big enough word. Is it, really? You know, I think we think a little bit of a small hole. Well, God's pit's much bigger than that. And it's God has made a place big enough to contain our enemies. It's a place for their destruction, for their eternal torment. It's where bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But he says, David says, but I will.
Yes.
I will trust in the Lord. And this is where we need to be.
Yes.
Keep our trust in the Lord.
Yes.
Don't let the noise from outside begin to cause you to lose your focus. Don't let the noise from outside cause you to mishear what God is doing. And as we listen to what the Lord is doing, I believe we shall see even more greater things than we've already seen.
Yeah.
We saw things happening on Sunday. There was a move of the Spirit of God. I believe again there's a fresh move of God wanting to come in to us and to minister to us.
Yeah.
Get in there. Be here. Be part of it. Don't miss it. Because God wants you to receive it. And he wants you to grow in it. And he wants you to be full of it. And he wants you to be overflowing. So that when you come into contact people, people say, what's different about you? There's something about you that's... I can feel something around you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's the power of a holy God.
Yeah.
It's the power of a risen Savior.
Amen.
That is resident within my life.
Yes.
Give him praise.
Amen.
Give him glory. Trust in him. For he will never fail, and he will never forsake you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. Next month we'll look at Psalm 56. These psalms are connected with one another, so we'll look at Psalm 56 next month together and share together, so that gives you plenty of time.
Amen.
So we can move forward together in Jesus. Don't struggle. Cast all your care. Don't strive. We sing that there's an old chorus, do not strive, do not strive. Let me have my way amongst you. Do not strive. Don't wrestle against things. Just relax in his presence and he will bless us full, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. He will pour into our lives. Amen. The Lord bless you. Father, we just pray for those that are missing, those that are sick, those that are being attacked and pressurized by the thoughts of the lies of the enemy. Yeah. And Father, we pray that today that you will minister to them. We pray, Lord, even as they listen in a few days' time to the words that have been spoken by different ones, that it will cause them to rise up,
Amen.
Cause them to be strong,
Amen.
Cause them to be set free
yes.
from the power of the enemy.
Yes.
And that, Lord, they shall have their breakthrough. And Father, the enemy will not have his way in their life. He will not keep them in bondage. For Lord, you have opened prison doors and you've set the captives free. And Lord, I pray that they would now begin to walk out in the freedom that Christ has purchased for each and every one of us through his death and resurrection on that cross 2,000 years ago. And Lord, we thank you for your freedom that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for your delivering power. We thank you, Lord, for your healing power. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who gives us far more abundantly than all we can ask or think in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we receive these and we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.